You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast for Thursday, December 6th. I'm Chris Manning, your host from ThroughTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. Today's show is our Tactics Thursday show, so that means later in the show, Mike Zavgano and I are going to break down something you're going to see on the court. This week, we're talking about George Hill's return, how it impacts Colin Sexton, and we spent a lot of time on Sexton as an off-ball player. It's something that I think will be really, really key for his development, but it's something that just isn't there right now. If you want to find the podcast, you can always find it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, or wherever else you find podcasts. A 5-star review is the best way to support the show, specifically on Apple Podcasts if you're an iPhone user or an Apple user. And you can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWM Writes. We're also going to talk about the Cavs' loss to the Warriors from Wednesday night. The Cavs lose this game after a pretty good first half, one of the better first halves I could have seen from them, but they lose 129-105 because Golden State did Golden State things in the second half. Steph Curry has 42 points in this game, and just everything that really could have gone Golden State's way went the Cavs' way. To look at some of the good from this game, though, to start there, I thought the first half three-point shooting was particularly good. They go 10-20 from three in the first half. The Cavs on the year are a team that obviously, as you surely know, do not take a lot of threes. 20 attempts is more than they took in four other games this year. They just took like 15 the other night in their win, but they take a lot of threes in this game, and it looked good. They had guys like Jetty setting their feet, taking good threes and making them. That was a positive to see how the offense did that, and I'm looking forward to going back and seeing how they generated those shots in the first half. Colin Sexton, I think, in this game did some things that were interesting. I would not say it was a necessarily good overall game for him because of how he struggled on defense, and we'll get to that later. But he had some good drives. He had a couple other drives that I didn't particularly think were very smart, and we'll talk about those too, but he had some good moments. This was a game that Sexton, I think, will learn from, and him having some success against a team like this is a good thing for him. This is, again, all about his growth, all about his ability to keep getting better, all about his ability to continue to start figuring things out and just improve as a lead guy. And he also, went 3-3 from three in this game. He did only shoot 4 of 11 on shots inside the arc, but 3-3 from three for Colin Sexton is a good night. And he was confident taking those threes when the opportunities presented themselves. He wasn't really forcing them in a meaningful way, which is a positive thing, but he was taking them, and that in itself is a good thing for Sexton. Jetty Osman had a good shooting night. Setting his feet was something that Larry Drew has really harped on for him, and that is just in itself a positive. He also had a good defensive night-ish to some degree. Had some mistakes, had some tough nights guarding Kevin Durant, which is just a big, big assignment for him. But he also had a couple times where he read the pick and roll correctly, got his arm in a position to force turnovers, and particularly in the first half, had success. The tale of two halves cliche is something I hate doing, but this really was a tale of two halves because Golden State was much better in the second half. The Cavs handled them much better in the first half, and when Golden State got really rolling, this game just wasn't competitive anymore. But Jetty in the first half in particular made some nice shots, had a really, really nice drive as well where he finished with his left hand, and he had some good defensive moments on Durant. Him playing a little bit better is just a positive because this is a guy that has had some real rough games of late, had the injury, has started off the year just gangbusters, and hasn't been that same guy. It's good to see him getting back to being more like the Jetty that he's capable of being. Larry Nance and Tristan Thompson, I would say, just both were really great in this game too. Nance had some really, really nice offensive rebounding moments, had some good defensive moments, had some good passes. Thompson just continues to be a bash brother, just crashing the boards, dominating there, and creating something out of nothing on the offensive glass. It'll be very interesting to see how things look like going forward in terms of Kevin Love's return and Decker's return and stuff, and how much those two guys will play, and specifically how much they play together. We didn't see that two-man duo on Monday in Brooklyn, We did see it here. We saw these two guys actually play a big chunk of minutes together. That's a noticeable change, and I wonder how much Larry Drew wants to keep using it, or if he can use it, or if there's functional ways to get it. It's statistically not been as bad as you would guess. It's still not particularly modern. There's still a lot of limitations with it. You can't play certain guys like a David Nwaba in those groups, and it's hard to even play Sexton with those groups because teams don't respect him as a shooter right now. But as they get a lot of rebounds, they're both very active, and Nance, you know, played really well in Brooklyn. Was, I think, even better than Tristan Stein for maybe the first time all year. And it's weird to have two bigs as maybe your two most interesting players right now, aside from Sexton. But, again, good night from those guys. Other guys sort of really struggled. Good from there. And Rodney Hood deserves credit for his first quarter, too, and for making that shot at the half where he just kind of volleyed it in. But 11 points from him in the first quarter was a nice change. And, look, the Cavs losing. A win against the Warriors would have been sweet for them. I'm sure they would prefer it in the moment. But for the long-term pick watch, 5-19 is going to keep them within a half a game of the worst three teams in the league. The Hawks have lost to the Wizards, so the Cavs are just a bit behind there. But still within striking distance after the Nets kind of pushed them out of that top three. They're still very much right there among next to the league's worst teams in the league. And they could, you know, be near number one again here in a couple days after they play back-to-back at home this weekend. We're going to take a quick break, though, and then we're going to talk about the bad from the game, hear from today's sponsor, Action Heat, and then we'll be back with more Locked On Cavaliers, so stay tuned. Today's podcast is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. It's heat on demand at the touch of a button. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via panels similar to a heated car seat. The temperature can reach up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours when discharged, and those batteries can be reused to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. This is a perfect gift for any friend or family on your holiday list. This is great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers or snowboarders, or anyone that loves the outdoors and hates being cold. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body and comes in heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. It's available in men's and women's, and they have great new styles and models just released for the winter season. We've got a special deal for our listeners today. You can save 20% off your entire order by going to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action has to offer. I love it. I use it now when I go downtown and it's freezing, and I go running and it's freezing. And again, you can join me, use Action Heat, and get the most out of it by going to actionheat.com/lockedon or use the coupon code LOCKEDON to save 20% at checkout. And we're back. So the bad from this loss is that the second half was just the Warriors being clearly better than the Cavs. If you watch the Raptors game from the other night, you saw that Kawhi Leonard was really the big difference in that game. Toronto didn't play that well. Kyle Lowry didn't play in that game. But Kawhi just dominated the Cavs to a large degree. For Cleveland, Stephen Curry, who had 42 points, and Durant, who really just woke up in the second half, were the difference. Klay obviously hit some threes, and all the role guys had some good moments, but the difference was that this team still has three of the very, very best players in the world, two of the best three players in the world. Klay's probably top 10 to 15. And they just, when those guys are rolling and crushing, and Curry just scored the highest points he's ever had against the Cavs in his career, when that happens, there's just very little this group can do. And on that note, you also had Sexton and then the team really fall off from three in the second half. Sexton didn't take one in the second half, obviously. As a group, they were only 1-10 in the second half. Golden State just, Curry beat that mark by himself. So when you're playing that math game, it's really hard to keep pace. And maybe that should have been expected based on what the Cavs are and how things went after that first half. But going 1-10 in the second half really dooms you against Golden State and just means this is going to be hard for you to compete. Maybe that was inevitable, but it happened. Sexton in this game also just would say he struggled with his reads a little bit on when was smart to drive and when was not smart to drive. He was really trying to do a lot. That's kind of a thing for him. But he would drive into lane into two guys and just kind of try to throw up a shot and got blocked or committed a turnover. Just not necessarily a game for him where you were blown away by his decision making. Something he will definitely, I think, need to see on tape and kind of get shown, hey, maybe driving into this lane isn't the smart thing. Maybe I just need to be a bit more patient and not make that kind of mistake against a team as good as Golden State, because it's just giving them free opportunities. And you need to execute at a high level. And and execute really, really well to have a chance against those teams. Sexton has to learn from this, not drive into guys and just give up bad shots to play into Golden State's defensive hands. Defensively overall, this was also just a bad game for the Cavs too. Alec Burks didn't look interested in playing defense. Jordan Clarkson didn't look interested in playing defense. Sexton, I thought, had some decent-ish moments, but really, really struggled, obviously, against Curry. He was flat-footed. He was not particularly moving all that well on the defensive end. Just one of those games where Golden State just was better. And as a team, the Cavs gave up some really, really easy transition baskets. Just had some moments where you're wondering exactly what the strategy really was. And that's a concern. I mean, they're not going to be a good defensive team. They're not going to be a really well-organized defensive team, but you would hope for just a little bit better from what we saw there. George Hill in this game, 0-5 from shooting for him, 3 assists and 2 turnovers, had just 25 minutes played, and not really an overall impactful game for him. This isn't something that I think will crush any trade value or anything like that, but for him, what was he really doing? It's a game where he felt very invisible. He is just still coming back. This is only his second game back. He probably played, you know, a little bit too much the other night. It's only his third game back, excuse me. You know, maybe he's just still not really good after playing 35 minutes, which is a big jump for him after playing only 18 against the Raptors. He needs to be doing more. He needs to be helping Sexton a bit more, kind of take some of the pressure off of him. He's also probably got to do a little better job on Curry from the get-go. Curry had the 16 points, I think, in the first half. Had a really hot start to the game. Or 16 points in the first quarter, excuse me. Hill's got to be the guy that's aware of that and is capable of stopping that and is using his hands in smart ways to kind of deny that. He's a veteran. He's a very good defender, a smart defender. I'm sure he knows this stuff. He's got to kind of be a guy that at least does his best to do a better job of holding Curry in, not check because that's not possible, but at least have him in a position where you sort of know what he's doing. And as a team, he's kind of got to be the guy that's leading them into stopping pushes on the fast break. So not a great game for him, not a good game for his trade value necessarily either. And like Alec Burks had the big shot the other night, but high volume shot night for him, not a lot of a good return, not a very efficient night for him. That's a bit of a concern too. So you just kind of an overall junky performance in the second half. Not a particularly aesthetically good performance, a good quality performance. Just a big, big drop off. Threes don't go in. The defense looks really bad, and Golden State picked them apart. That just tells you where the Cavs are at. You could have good scoring nights from guys like they did. They had three guys and had that decent scoring night. Tristan can play really well. Just that the gap between the two teams is so big. So maybe none of this was really going to be working well unless Golden State had a lot go wrong and the Cavs just had a lot go right and got lucky. But the Cavs didn't help themselves with the flat-footed defense, the ability to stop transition baskets, and guys like George Hill not really playing all that well. We're going to take a quick break, and then the big part of today's show is me and Mike Zevgano. That's the meat of today's show, the part I think you'll enjoy most. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavaliers from myself and then my guest, Mike Zevgano. And joining me now for this week's Tactics Thursday is Mike Zevgano. He's a writer at Fear the Sword and Dime Mag. Mike, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing good. So we just watched the Cavs play the Warriors. Before we get into this week's topic, which is going to be on George Hill's return, as well as what that has specifically meant for Colin Sexton and what it says about Colin Sexton right now. What were some of the, I don't know how much of the game you caught, but was there, what, just in general, do you have any like takes on just sort of the differing vibe of where Cavs Warriors is at right now?
I think also, I saw
and what, yeah, and what was it like seeing the Cavs in person at Cavs Nets in the game they actually won? That's probably more interesting, honestly.
I'll start with the win. That was better. I went with Jacob Rosen, which was cool. And you know, the Cavs, I mean, looked pretty decent in that game. I thought that, you know, Tristan, again, he's been on such a tear on the offensive glass, but he was incredibly impressive in that game, really destroying Brooklyn on the offensive glass. And it seemed as if that was definitely something that the Cavs emphasized. I mean, you saw Jordan Clarkson even have 10 rebounds. Alec Burks had, I think, 8 rebounds in that game. And, you know, obviously Burks closes out with the game-winning dunk, but they're really there because They didn't really shoot the ball well. They didn't really have a great shot profile, but they didn't turn the ball over, and they just absolutely were dominating the offensive glass. And so that kind of allowed them to be able to pull it out in the end.
It is a weird time for the Cavs right now. There's just a variety of things going on, and there's still a lot of injuries. I as we talk about this, Mike and I decide basically on topics like a week out. I thought by now this team would be a little bit healthier. That was part of my reasoning for talking about George Hill's return, and he's a notable return. But Sam Decker's still out. David Nwaba mysteriously is out due to knee soreness, and there hasn't really been much updating from the team or clarification there. That's a little bit weird. Kevin Love's obviously still out. He's not going to be back to 2019. They've played their new two-way players in garbage time the last couple of nights to kind of eat up some wing minutes. Obviously, because Kyle Korver's now been traded. The biggest change I think we've seen is that George Hill has not meant that they are going to bump anyone notable to the bench. It really just puts Larry Nance back on the bench, which makes the most sense anyway for this NBA. It means the Cavs are playing a pretty weird, smaller starting lineup. It is Sexton, Hill, Hood, Osman, and Thompson. Now, I think this is going to definitely change again. I would say if Hill gets traded, it's obviously away. Kevin Love's return, he's obviously going to start, and I think he's going to start at the expense of Hill or Hood would be my guess. But when you've watched this so far, Mike, what are some of the things in Hill's return and in him starting that has stood out to you? I also think that was the right call. Do you think that was the right call?
Yeah, it's tough. I think that in person I saw a bit more than on TV. Just like, I don't know exactly where George Hill is right now from a mental standpoint, but he didn't really seem that engaged in the Nets game. Obviously, he then had 0 points tonight against Golden State. And he's almost just kind of like out there, but you don't really notice him unless you're paying attention. I'm not entirely sure that he's really putting much on the table right now for this team. In that Nets game when it was winning time, he was out there over Colin Sexton, and Sexton looked a bit frustrated on the bench. When Burks came in for Jetty looked a bit frustrated. Tristan was taken out on the last possession that Burks ultimately got the game-winning dunk, and he certainly wasn't happy. So I think that there's definitely some difficult rotation decisions that Larry Drew's making. It seems certainly as if Drew wants to win basketball games and is kind of going with whatever he thinks at the time is going to help him achieve that. But it's kind of, a delicate balance between keeping the guys who are likely part of the future here happy while also, trying to pursue, I'm assuming, wins just because, he's interested in keeping this job.
Yeah, I think he obviously has a lot of motivation for them to win more than anyone else. I would say that he also said, he also was asked about this, and he said, Larry Drew was, and he said he didn't believe that sitting Sexton in crunch time is going to hinder his growth in any way. He said you can learn just as much by watching. For Sexton, I don't know this to be true, but he seems to me like a guy who like needs to be experiencing things just because of how he's wired. That's just the vibe I really get from him. But I agree with you, Wydell. He seems like he's still shaking off some rust. He was really bad against the Warriors. It's also a situation where like he isn't like coming in and like pushing and dominating, trying to at least as much as he was to start the year. At the beginning of the year, this was a guy who came in, was attacking a lot, was trying to do a lot. And I think now he's reading the room a little bit and is like looking at Sexton and being like, okay, I have to cede a little bit here. I have to step back just a little bit and let this guy kind of lead some things, because Colin Sexton is still like playing a lot on ball and playing a lot in terms of as the lead guard. Jetty's bringing up the ball a little bit too. And the only way we're really seeing Sexton, I think, benefiting from not being asked to do too much of because of Hill is on the defensive end. I mean, he defended Curry for a decent chunk of the Warriors game, but he started off on Andre Iguodala because Hill was on Steph Curry, and they're trying to keep him, I think, from just being burned so much. So I think there's still some repercussions here to be seen, but I think there, especially when guys get healthy, like Nwaba gets healthy, there's some decisions we're going to have to see what kind of Larry Drew decides to do. But it's been less of an impact than I think I would have guessed a week ago. And I think that's also probably okay, because at least even if he's not getting to finish games, which I would have liked to see him do, Kyle Sexton's at least still getting to do a bunch of stuff, even though George Hill's back, which is certainly the optimal scenario for this. Yeah, I think
that, you know, you just have to be cognizant of kind of where George Hill's at, I think, as a team. You know, obviously, what happened in Sacramento, where he kind of, you know, shut off last year before getting traded to Cleveland, you don't really want that type of situation in your locker room. It's probably going to be difficult to trade him. You don't really see a team that's kind of in the same situation as the Cavs were. You know, obviously he has one less year on the contract and, you know, only the partial guarantee for next year. So you really never know, but you just want to, I think, monitor where George Hill's at and, you know, hope that he's going to be more in that mentoring role, like you're talking about, where he's going to be kind of looking out for Sexton, helping him out, you know, on the floor, seeing things, maybe helping him on defense a little bit, rather than, you know, just kind of being a malcontent and harming the overall vibe of the team.
He hasn't tweeted like a string of like angry red faced emojis yet. So like, it seems like he's doing okay. You know, like that was the bat signal for his unhappiness last year, because he doesn't like say things to the media. He's just a very quiet guy. So like that's the way you find out. The other thing about this that I find interesting is Colin Sexton as a player. Colin Sexton is not a guy who like does a lot of stuff without the ball in his hands. I think that is fair to say. And I'm going to pull it up exactly. I'm going to get the exact, see if how much this has changed, you know, since George Hill has come back. But for the year, Colin Sexton has taken under one three per game as a catch and shoot three. It is like a minuscule part of his offense right now. It's something that I think long-term is really worth monitoring, because I think it's a skill that he's going to have to develop. Because let's say the Cavs get a top three pick. Let's say the Cavs get Zion Williamson, get RJ Barrett, get Cam Reddish. Those are guys he's going to have to cede possessions to. That's just something he's realistically going to need to do. And look, George Hill's only been back two games, and this is like a very, very minuscule sample size. But in the same, and it's really only bumped up to one attempt per game in those two games, and it's roughly the same frequency percentage of his offense. So it's just something he we're not seeing a lot of. They're gonna try to push him off ball more, and I think that's smart. But I want to see him getting more catch and shoot three opportunities as his game grows, and I think just him learning how to function better off ball is something he has to try to develop now, because not only is it gonna help him with Kevin Love gets back, and maybe it's easier to do that when Love is back. But just there's going to be a point where he like has to just do it based on the young guy he's playing with, and that just isn't there right now. But I think he's going to have to do more of that stuff, and it's not a real part of his thing right now. And even just in terms of how much he's, you know, shooting when he's like barely dribbling, which is an indication, like, and it's 2-point shots. You know, it's only 3.6% of his shots and zero dribbles, only 10.7 on there. It's 3 to 6 dribbles. And then 7+ dribbles are by far the most frequent shots for him. That tells you everything, really, about how he gets his offense right now.
Yeah, I think that
and I want to see him
actually. When I was watching his college tape, one of the things that I was pleasantly surprised with was kind of the way that he moved off ball. He seemed to be a good positional cutter. You know, obviously from the point guard position, and I wouldn't say that the Cavs offense has really been tailored much to getting him off the ball or, you know, putting him in actions where he's really going to be used as a cutter. You know, there's not really many post-ups available in the offense right now, so he can't really cut off of those. There's been a bit of that, you know, corner elbow action, but without shooting in that action, it's kind of difficult to draw the defense as much. And so you're really not seeing a lot of, you know, time for him spent in a position to make strong cuts off the ball. And then if he's playing on the bench units, which, you know, he's playing alongside Jordan Clarkson about 13 minutes a game since George Hill came back, and he's playing with Alec Burks just under that. And so when he's out there with both of those guys, I mean, we've seen that Burks is kind of going to come in and basically play like Clarkson, where they just kind of, you know, dribble and take turns and shoot the basketball. And so those minutes are really not helpful for Sexton, I don't think, in terms of his off-ball development either. And so I think that some of the onus is on Larry Drew potentially to put in some different actions. But a lot of it is just like you don't really have that hub offensively that is Kevin Love, you're really missing him in terms of just being able to kind of dump the ball into someone, run some split cuts off of it, or give the ball at the elbow and kind of do something similar. And so hopefully Sexton can kind of show some of the off-ball stuff that he did in college, because I did think that, you know, of the things on offense, that was one of the more surprising positives for me.
Is getting Kevin Love back the only functional way for that to happen, though? Because as much as he's tried to run some stuff where, like, it is dribble handoffs from bigs at the elbow and stuff you might see when Love is back. But it just doesn't have the same effect when it's Larry Nance and Tristan Thompson. Absolutely no shade to those guys, because they've played really well the last couple nights. And Tristan's been the Cavs' best player this year and been the unquestioned team leader. It's just not the same when it's not Kevin Love giving you those handoffs, kind of giving you that action. This one is maybe taking it a step too far based on where we're at, but I just don't know how possible it really is to get him those type of looks or run a functional offense that way until he comes back. And also just the personnel in this roster is just not really conducive to that kind of stuff. Like Burks, Hood, Clarkson, Sexton. These are all guys who just generate shots based on their own work more than anything else. And that also is just a structural thing that makes all of this kind of weird for
the larger problems going into the season. And it obviously hasn't really fixed itself in any way, is that there just aren't many above average passers on this team. And so it really hampers the overall ability of the offense to succeed. You know, you see a team that's had some good offensive performances, but a lot of it is more individual-based than team-based. You know, when some of these guys are hitting a bunch of mid-range shots, things can look pretty decent. But, you know, overall on the year, the Cavs are in the bottom five in offensive rating, and they're the worst team in the NBA in effective field goal percentage, which means that they're obviously being buoyed by the amount of offensive rebounds that Tristan Thompson gets. And without him, they could easily be the worst offense in the NBA. But the overall shot profile, both because of the types of players that you have on this team, but also just the dearth of passing, really, really lends itself to a lot of those mid-range attempts or a lot of those self-created attempts. And those are going to be less efficient shots than, you know, the threes that are created off the pass and drive.
It's going to be an interesting season. A lot of the roster changes and what happens when all these guys comes back and what Larry Drew does there will be interesting to see. I mean, there's guys he could play instead of who's playing now, or at least incorporate them that, like, don't do what they do with the ball. And maybe, like, a little, like, Nawab is, I think, a smart passer, if not necessarily a great passer. These little changes could have an impact there as well. It's a very big thing to monitor for Colin Sexton, I think, going forward, how he looks there. It's something even though the film looks good, I think Mike Smith said he took, like, 53 catch-and-shoot shots in college or something like that. Like, that's nothing. So this is going to be a big adjustment for him and how he does it and how these Georgia lineup changes impact that are going to be interesting to see going forward. But that's going to be it for today with Tactics Thursday with Mike. You can find him on Twitter at mzevgano11. Mike, thanks so much.
Thank you.
With Tactics Thursday with Mike, you can find. Thanks again to Mike for coming on the show. Thanks to you, the listener, for tuning in today. You can find me again on Twitter and Facebook at CWMWrites. The podcast is on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs. We're going to be back tomorrow with our typical Friday show and getting you ready for a dual slate of weekend games that should be interesting to see how they play out. So thanks again. This has been Locked On Cavaliers for Thursday, December 6th. I'm Chris Manning from FearTheSword.com. The Cavs lost to the Warriors on Wednesday night in the Golden State's first game back in Cleveland since last year's finals. Bit of a different vibe for both teams and something that Kevin Durant talked about as well. But all in all, still Golden State beating the Cavs, and that at least has not changed. But we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great Thursday. Cheers.